Second point is leptomeningeal disease. That's impressive data. They don't always do well, but some of these patients can have durable lepto control with osimertinib. Again, some of them can have transient effects, but the fact that I can have patients living for years with asymptomatic lepto on osimertinib is amazing and really reassuring clinical effectiveness.
Right, and there also, we will sometimes push that dose up. I mean, I do have some patients where 80 milligrams wasn't adequate, where I've then pushed that up to 160. And we have data from the Bloom trial, of course, looking at that dosing where we know it's tolerable, remarkably tolerable, actually. And I have seen regain of control in the CNS, especially with lepto, by doing that. Parallel with some of the ALK drugs also, I've sometimes pushed the dose beyond the standard recommended in discussions with others and definitely seen regain of control where we've started to lose it. So there is some dose impact, but I agree with osimertinib, you don't really need to do that most of the time.
Matt?
I wanted to make the same point, and it's so important. Actually, it's so exciting, right? Because that's the clinical state that probably scares most of us the most. I think it's also worth pointing out that, especially with longer duration of benefit and different resistance patterns, I think that leptomeningeal disease actually often presents differently in these patients. When it is kind of a resistance setting, leptomeningeal, it often is a little more indolent, a little less clinically aggressive. But again, as with Jeff, I've had a few patients I've managed for a year or 2 years and beyond with clear radiographic and even CSF proven leptomeningeal disease with great quality of life, minimal symptomatology. So really a remarkable story.